2019 World Credit Union Conference in the Bahamas. The Bahamas, Shirley Senn.
Yes.
Bahamas, isn't it nice?
Tan lines.
Well done. Good for you. Good for you.
Of course, after the conference.
Of course.
Is over for the
day. Yeah. Well, it's okay to go have. I mean, we've been working hard here for sure,
yes.
But it's okay to go out and have a little bit of fun too. You got to balance it out. So nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Hey. How's the conference going for you so far, by the way?
Really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a different flavor, obviously, having it here in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Met some very interesting people, and really the dynamics of the various workshops that they've had are really on point with mm-hmm. what credit unions across the world are experiencing today. I mean, and we were talking, you know, we have a global philosophy of people helping people, but you know, the dynamics and the culture really plays into how the credit union implements mm-hmm. what it's going to do to help its members. So it's been really interesting to see in some areas that we may see as developing countries or in the process of that mm-hmm. are actually ahead of us in some of the areas of technology simply because of necessity.
Right, right.
And then also, you know, as we see here within especially the financial services industry and pretty much corporate America as a whole, the concepts of the diversity, inclusion, and equity, how it's becoming more important with everything that we've been experiencing mm-hmm. for the last couple of years, especially in the United States, and really getting some good viewpoints of how that same issue is prevalent across the world mm-hmm. and how different credit unions and communities are working to, you know, combat that and make sure that, you know, the people that are needing those services are getting it properly and engaged mm-hmm. With the credit union and the community.
Yeah, indeed. And you're here representing CU Strategic Planning.
Yes.
And so what do you want to take back to the offices?
Well, I'm really excited because we recently brought on Renato Hardy.
I saw the news. That's huge for you guys. Well done.
Well, you know, he brings a really good background in the diversity and inclusion and equity mm-hmm. sector.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know as community development and financial institutions and the industry that we're working in is, you know, that's really a part of the engagement of community development is empowering underserved areas. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of cases, those are minority populations mm-hmm. or other, you know, sectors of the population mm-hmm. that, you know, are obviously overlooked most of the time.
Right.
So, you know, listening to the perspectives, whether in a workshop setting or in, you know, just facilitating a roundtable type of discussion, mm-hmm. listening to how people are embracing that, both internally for their employees mm-hmm. as well as externally mm-hmm. for the members, mm-hmm. because I feel that, you know, a lot of us have, you know, the understanding of what we do as credit unions, but if we're not truly engaged in what our communities are representing,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, there's a disconnect mm-hmm. between how we can serve the credit union. So, you know, we're really excited to bring that about, and I've been attending and talking to as many people as
for
I can
you.
About
yeah.
that understanding, and not just in the United States, but other areas, because definitely that can be brought back.
Completely.
And then I think a second part of that piece within the diversity, inclusion, and equity is actually the fintech
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, how do we reach out to areas that may not be accessible through brick and mortar. And this has been the barrier mm-hmm. a lot of times of a mainstream financial institution maybe wanting to engage in areas that really need their services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, really seeing how some of our colleagues in Africa or here in the Caribbean or down in, you know, Central and South America mm-hmm. are using these types of platforms to get out there and really, you
indeed.
Know, help the members has been really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think we take it for granted sometimes when we have so many things in front of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, you come here and it's a reality check. It's like, oh, wow,
yes,
okay.
It really is.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about being able to take that back and start integrating that while, you know, a lot of what we do as the community development financial institution of the CDFI industry mm-hmm. with credit unions is underserved. I think we need to be more in tune mm-hmm. with, you know, exactly what does diversity mean? What does inclusion mm-hmm. mean? What does equity mean? Because, you know, when we look at diversity, it really is just identifying the differences that we have in front of us. Mm-hmm. And it's not just race and gender anymore. Mm-hmm. It's our, you know, religious preferences, mm-hmm. or what you do socially, mm-hmm. or so there's a lot of different gamuts that I think we have to broaden our horizons from that diversity. Mm-hmm. And then how do we take that into the inclusion, mm-hmm. which is really an intentional engagement, mm-hmm. and taking that understanding of the diversity and highlighting it and appreciating it in the workforce, and then, you know, parlaying that into the equity. And the equity part, I think sometimes is kind of what we may miss, is mm-hmm. that, you know, what we're trying to do in the equity is create opportunities that really allow the underserved populations and the underrepresented populations mm-hmm. to have an equal mm-hmm. seat at the table.
Right, right.
And so, you know, I see a lot of our community development credit unions in really embracing that. And mm-hmm. but, you know, there's challenges with that too. There's challenges in terms of understanding the market, or, you know, if you're a credit union that has been mainstream for most of its existence and you're starting to move into that community development, it can really take on a life of its own mm-hmm. with the credit union mm-hmm. And the board and management and how you're going to serve that membership. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we look at the fact that the minority population in the United States, mm-hmm. I believe by 2060 will be representing about 56% of our population. 2014, wow. I believe that was about 34-35%.
So it's a big jump.
Right. And you know, when we really look at what the diversity, inclusion, and equity can bring to our credit unions, mm-hmm. it's not just a matter of serving the credit unions, mm-hmm. but it's also important for the vitality and the sustainability of the credit unions in terms of, as we look at membership aging, you know, and we're constantly looking at ways of how we can lower the average age.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, because obviously our retirees are not looking to borrow, they're more of our savers, and you know, and obviously that's how credit unions make mm-hmm. their money, even mm-hmm. though we're nonprofit. Obviously we have to make money to keep
stay in business.
Capital.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So, you know, I think this presents really good opportunities for credit unions as they're looking to go through this process of the diversity, inclusion, and equity, to be innovative, mm-hmm. because you're going to be, you know, looking and seeking alternative ways to serve different groups and classes of individuals mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. maybe your current products and services don't necessarily tailor to.
Yeah.
And obviously the Hispanic population has been a big target of mm-hmm. of that idea, and the fact that while we may have a broad-based Hispanic or Latino population, you know, how you may serve a Puerto Rican you know, population is going to be much different than how you may work with a Mexican mm-hmm. population mm-hmm. from Mexico. Mm-hmm. So, you know, living in San Diego, I know the credit union I'm a member of there mm-hmm. works with the Mexican immigrants versus mm-hmm. when I lived in Florida mm-hmm. and was working with credit unions in Orlando, which is very highly populated in Puerto Rican.
Ah,
so,
okay.
You know, so again, I think that's part of it.
And differences in culture as well.
Very much so. But then it also provides the ability to be innovative in our products and, you know, engaging actually more in the community. And that's really a lot of, obviously, what community development is about, is leveraging our partnerships and our relationships with other nonprofits, government agencies, mm-hmm. and really bringing all of those stakeholders to mm-hmm. the table to address mm-hmm. how we can come together and really make a much more impact to that community, to help not just, you know, typically low-income individuals, but also those that are typically mm-hmm. underrepresented in mm-hmm. a lot of the activities that mm-hmm. we do as a financial services industry.
You know, what I've been hearing a lot at this conference is like, yeah, sure, credit union growth is very important, but what I've been hearing more is what you just said, making a greater impact in your community. And I think when you do that, the growth will come.
I agree.
You know, so that's what I've been hearing. It just kind of dawned on me. It's like, hey, wow, you know, I thought that's quite profound, and that when you make a greater impact in your community, that growth is going to come, and all the rest
it
of it
does.
As well.
It does, and if you look at some of the studies that have been done about CDFI credit unions, mm-hmm. well, you know, there may be more perceived risk in some areas into what you may be getting into, whether it's a population or a product. You know, there's also beneficial rewards that come off of that.
Oh my gosh, the rewards are so great, much greater.
Yeah, and so, you know, it definitely is a viable business model mm-hmm. for credit unions mm-hmm. if they run it properly and have the right policies and procedures mm-hmm. in place understand, you know, like I said, the inward and outward implementation of this. And, you know, one thing I really do appreciate about CDFIs, and especially credit unions, is the fact that a lot of times I think the CDFI credit unions are like those financial bridges in their communities. You know, the fact that they're the ones that a lot of times are bringing the capital to the table for areas that may be disinvested, or in some cases, you know, they really become an anchor institution in an otherwise desolate and isolated community that other financial banks and services have left. You know, we see this a lot working with credit unions in what we call the Rust Belt, obviously, in Ohio, Indiana, where a factory may have shut down, and literally, you know, the town was left without an employer, deserted. But, you know, there's opportunities to reinvest and revitalize that area. And so credit unions are becoming that anchor again to help bring back the vitality and the economic impacts to that community.
That's the reward right there, for sure.
So I really see CDFIs being, you know, that catalyst for that. And in exchange for that, obviously, when, you know, when that's brought in and communities are rebuilt, obviously the economy rebuilds, and it benefits everyone.
No doubt about it.
So, you know, so that's what really is exciting about this. When you look at where a lot of the communities are that have been disinvested or have, like you said, been isolated, it really is sometimes in very low income, you know, minority based communities within a certain area. So this is where I think CDFIs going forward have a really powerful opportunity to make that impact where some of our other larger mainstream banks have really pulled out.
Exactly.
And it really goes down again to the fact of, you know, credit unions are owned as a cooperative, whereas banks are shareholders. So we, at the end of the day, we want to benefit our members, and we're not as worried about making a profit for the people that own us.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like when a credit union stays there and invests in the community, it can provide a boost to that economy right there. And then the rewards are so great, because when you can get into the you know, these communities and stuff, and you get near and dear to their hearts, I mean, word spreads like wildfire, and everyone's like, hey, they are serving us, let's go help them as well. So yeah, it's definitely a two-way street.
And an opportunity, you know, to really see some of those impacts. We have the Opportunity Finance Network, which is kind of the trade association for all CDFIs, both credit union and non-credit union. The CDFI Fund's website as well, and CU Strategic Planning's website. We all have some really powerful impact stories, what we call member wow stories, to get the idea of what, not just from a standpoint of, you know, someone was able to get a loan and get a house, but really tangible impacts in terms of the dollar amount of loans that are going back and being reinvested into the community and leveraged. And I believe that, you know, within the CDFI credit union community, that when a CDFI may win a grant, that those funds are leveraged about 10 times in their community.
Oh,
so
really, it's just that's a springboard to get things going, for sure.
I think, you know, as we move into, as the new NCUA chairman, Hood is making a focus on the diversity and inclusion and equity, and a lot of the credit union trade groups and credit unions themselves are embracing this. You know, a lot of them are starting inwardly to, again, identify those differences, and how do we bring those to the table, and how do we engage people, and also allow the credit union to more represent what their community
is. Thinking the same thing. You took the words right out of my mouth.
So that, you know, so that we can be more engaged and understand what those needs are, rather than assuming that we're developing a product or a service because we think we know what the member wants, rather than actually asking them and engaging them in helping be part of the solution to the problem.
Right. Oh my gosh, Shirley, there's so much here. Man.
There is.
Good stuff. And I like interviewing you because I ask like two questions and you go to town.
I love it.
Great interview.
Well,
all right.
It's passion because of what we enjoy.
I know. No doubt. And you really feel it here for sure.
You do.
The passion here is second to none. So
yes.
Good stuff. Any final words of wisdom here to wrap up? Because I know you got a full plate today as well.
30 sunscreen.
Oh yeah, that's right. Don't forget your sunscreen.
Yes. No, I really, you know, would encourage people that have not had the opportunity to attend a World Credit Union Conference to really do so, because I think that, you know, while a lot of us stay within our own realm and our own communities, mm-hmm. that to really broaden our scope and, you know, what we have to learn from others is, you know, infinite.
I agree.
And I really do appreciate that here. And it's just, it's a good opportunity for networking with both our colleagues within the credit union system, as well as others that bring
you know
other services that are viable to us running our credit unions as a business.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say come. I know next year it's in L.A.,
yeah.
so it's just right up the street
right
from
up
us.
The street.
But, you know, I think each year they just get better and better in terms of being more relevant to what's going on and making credit unions continue to be relevant long term.
Indeed. All right. Great message to end on. Shirley, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Well done, Shirley Sen. CU Strategic Planning. Go check them out.